Click kaya959.co.za
to download the Kaya Biz podcast.
We are taking a look now and a deep dive into some industry trends and insight that has been shared by ASISA. That's the Association for Saving and Investment South Africa, where they typically often share a lot of critical data with us for us to get a full and deeper understanding of the industry dynamics. Tonight, we are speaking to Jean van Niekerk, convener of the ASISA Forensic Standing Committee, to help us unpack how the insurance industry has expended 1.4 billion rand worth of attempted fraud for honesty to that would have taken place through life insurers and investment companies in 2024. Jean, welcome to the show and thank you for your time.
Thank you for having me, Gugu, and good evening.
Such a pleasure to speak to you. I must actually say, Jean, for anyone who might be listening, I looked at your title and I thought, goodness, I'd be so scared to speak to you on any given day. Because when anyone sees anything around forensic auditing, forensic investigation, you think, ooh, you probably know my blood type by now. But maybe for those of us who don't understand, just help us understand how the work you do as the Forensic Standing Committee and why it remains so critical for ASISA.
Oh, thank you, Gugu. And listen, I think we come together as a community, as industry, to obviously form these committees and form these initiatives. I've had the brilliant opportunity of leading and chairing the committee for the last two or so years. The work that we do, Gugu, is twofold, I think, perhaps threefold, perhaps. Mm-hmm. We obviously focus a lot on consumer education, so we must make sure that we avail education to our consumers to know what's going on around them. And this empowers them to protect themselves in the process of engaging with financial services, investments, insurance. And I heard you mentioning earlier, scams, for example, yes, very prevalent at the moment. So it is very important everybody's in the know. I think second and third to that is the statistics, which we will be discussing this evening, and the opportunity that gives us to create awareness within our market, within our own sector and our own industries around how we track these threats, how we track the changing modus operandi that are associated to these threats, and ultimately how we collaborate as a broader industry to combat these threats. Mm. Those, for me, are the three critical elements that we try to achieve within the ASISA structure.
Mm-hmm. I'm glad that you painted an overview because it does help us understand just the depth of your work, because fraud as well as dishonesty is very wide-ranging. And for many of us as South Africans, when we think of the documentary around Rosemary, a South African woman who worked in the police service, had taken out life insurance for her loved ones, and essentially had them murdered in order to claim some kind of wealth, is just but one example that we can recognize in terms of fraud and dishonesty impacting life insurers and investment companies. Let's talk through the numbers, though, because this helps us understand just how prevalent fraud is in the local life insurance space. And maybe, Kate, this also gives us a better understanding of the numbers that we're also going to talk us through. So maybe let's just start there, just in understanding how prevalent fraud is within the insurance industry in South Africa.
Certainly, Gugu. You know, before we sources, I think to put it all in context, if you look at the different risk types that we track within the stats, and if you look at the amounts that insurers are actually paying out, and when I say insurers, I perhaps must caveat that is the combination of investment companies, asset managers, and insurers.
Gotcha.
But be that as it may, if we look at the total number of policies that were in force end of last year, give or take, 44.4 million policies were in force, and a staggering 639 billion rand was paid in 2024.
Sure.
639 billion. Now, to put that in context, the fraud losses that these companies had reported throughout the year amounted to about 131 million. And as you've already said in the introduction, of course, 1.4 billion was prevented on the back of fraudulent attempts. So yes, in isolation, the stats may seem like it's an exorbitant amount, but I think relative to the sheer volumes and the sheer quantum that the industry pays out, as well as the number of policies that are active, our industry is actually doing quite well in terms of containing the impact that fraud has, because we must appreciate that every single rand and cent lost has an impact to the consumer ultimately. Whether it's in the form of fees or pricing or other forms of collateral, there is always a societal impact and there's certainly always a consumer impact that we are hyper aware of and hyper vigilant to.
As you mentioned, the number of payouts, 639 billion rand, I thought to myself, my goodness, this certainly means that our insurance is working to our benefit. So that is a nice refresher for us as South Africans to remember that when you do claim, claims do get successfully processed, despite the narrative that does exist out there. When I read your report around fraud and dishonesty, I think I'm just in such dismay around the five categories of fraudulent applications, dishonest insurance claims, and just the various ways within people try to commit fraud. And maybe talk us through these categories and which appear to be growing in prevalence of late.
Certainly, Gugu. I think starting from the top, we are seeing a slight growth in terms of the remuneration fraud. That's typically what we refer to as any attempt by an agent of sorts, a broker or an advisor to benefit unduly from a policy. We did see a bit of growth in that sphere year on year. So you would have seen we've gotten about 2,000 odd cases more than previous year. In the same breath, fraudulent applications would speak to the fact that individuals are either impersonating others or misrepresenting information when they take a product. We very often see impersonation within this category as well, so stolen identities, for example, being used to take products. And we've definitely seen a bit of a stable volume of cases there, but again, you will see that a healthy increase in preventions. So we're seeing the industry's focus pay off in the sense that our losses are reducing and our preventions are increasing. So the controls being put in play, the checks and balances certainly coming to the fore there. If I quickly skim towards things such as fraudulent and dishonest life insurance claims, you'd see that we also saw steady growth. That's correlated to the bigger number that I spoke about earlier this evening, the increase in the cost or the payments that have been made by insurers. And you'll see this also constitutes arguably the biggest component of the fraud preventions in the industry. So just over 1 billion rand. And again, when we look at the losses, the promising story here is that we're seeing a reduction in losses year on year. So again, preventions are maintained and our loss experiences are reducing, which insists that it's getting more difficult to get away with these types of crimes. I'm going to close out by also just mentioning one. So we do track withdrawal and disinvestment fraud. Mm-hmm. And you'll see, again, slight reduction in numbers. But what we are experiencing is a reasonably consistent prevention amount with normal variations up and down. And again, the actual losses have increased slightly. But there is some consistency in what we're seeing. And again, we attribute this to the control environments that have been put in play. And of course, as I've mentioned, the intricate interlock that the industry has amongst members and that collaboration that we have formed.
And maybe talk us through that collaboration, because for many of us, we, you know, I sit on the other side and I understand there's some sensitivities here because you're not trying to give away your game plan, right, to actually catch the crooks. But, you know, does it involve the police services? Does it involve other investigators? But I guess the bigger question is, you know, how far do you go in not just apprehending the claim, but also the people who might be involved here to make sure that they also are held to account?
Oh, absolutely. So, Gugu, I think it spans the length and breadth. You know, we appreciate and acknowledge that as an industry, we can't do it alone, as much as our law enforcement can't do it alone. So there's an intricate interlock in terms of not just stopping the claim that is fraudulent, but also taking it further in terms of prosecutions. I mean, you referred earlier to Rosemary and Ndlovu, and there's been a few other cases in the media of late. The reality is that, unfortunately, it takes quite a bit of time to get those basic cases prosecuted. And many of those instances that you're seeing coming through the media have actually been in working between industry and law enforcement for months and in some cases years. So the extent of the collaboration is definitely intercompany. Obviously, we utilize legal mechanisms to enable that information sharing. And very importantly, I'd say, is the interlock with law enforcement that helps us achieve the outcome of actually taking care of the bad threat actors out there. There are other mechanisms, but as you've mentioned, a good magician doesn't elude all his tricks. But largely, I'd say it's data, it's information, and it's collaboration driven.
Well, long may it last, because we are seeing the improvement and the prevention of fraud and dishonesty cases, according to the numbers that you've shared with us. What I'm also keen to understand, Jean, is what we can do, right, as South Africans, in order to make sure that we minimize the threat of fraud and dishonesty. And I understand it falls into the different categories. So, you know, do we blow the whistle when we hear of people who might be tied agents earning additional commissions? You know, how do we blow the whistle on fraudulent withdrawals and divestments? But also the protection of our own data and information, so that, you know, nobody claims that I've deceased and, you know, puts out a life claim from in my name.
Do we have just firstly about protecting ourselves. Be hyper aware of what you click on, where you divulge your information on a very, very real threat. So very careful about what you click on, what you type into anything that you've clicked on, and make sure that you don't accidentally divulge your information to an unauthorized third party. The same thing goes for our post. Again, just how do we protect our protectors? Sensitive letters, banks, banks, whatever that may be, that may be, don't dispose of them in the trash. There's an old practice that we refer to as dumpster diving.
Yes.
And you don't know where that information lands up on a landfill somewhere, and it could unfortunately be used against you should somebody find it that has malintent.
Sure.
On a more, I would say, community-based level, blowing the whistle is critical. I think, you know, it starts as with anything. If we accept a small thing to go unnoticed or unreported, that small thing will grow over time. I want to almost tongue-in-cheek say, you know, a 50 rand bribe to a traffic officer, some people may scoff it off and laugh it off at a bribe or at a social meeting. But the problem is, if we keep on letting these things stay unchecked, and as consumers we turn a blind eye to it, we're allowing it to fester, especially where we carry knowledge or suspicion of such things.
Mm.
So my key message is Google the insurance fraud line. All companies that have insurance products, investment products, will have their own insurance fraud lines as well. Report these things. You can do so anonymously, and your information will be protected in the process. So you will not be identified, and it'll be completely anonymous. It helps these companies to identify it, investigate it, and essentially take the risk out of the system entirely.
Mm, definitely.
And Googie, I think those for me are the top two, just from a consumer perspective, as well as from a community perspective. And I think very lastly is just we should strive to do right. I think we have a lot of good in our country. Unfortunately, sometimes the negative news outweighs the good that's happening.
Yeah.
We still have good men and women doing very, very positive work in the forensic units that detect this fraud. And we all ultimately rely on consumers to also play their part in that equation.
Mm, definitely. And I think, you know, as you're highlighting this, we all play a role, you know, protect your own data and information and, you know, call out when you do see something wrong and concerning. And this also leads to the new and concerning trends that you reference in your report as well. This largely speaks to deceased estate fraud. Help us understand again what it is and why we should be mindful here, because it does seem as though there's been an increase in the number of incidents slightly.
Absolutely. So, Gugu, the term deceased estate fraud in a nutshell is essentially where we do see throughout the industry, and we have for a while now, we've been tracking it actively. We see patterns where a few modus operandi are doing the rounds, but generally it speaks to when a person is either impersonating a real executor on a deceased estate, and they go to the different financial institutions trying to claim the assets of the now deceased customer.
Mm.
There are some more, call it malicious attempts, where there's very often bribery and corruption involved or other forms of forgery of documents, where outright a false individual is approaching a company under the auspice of being validly appointed as an executor for that deceased estate.
My goodness.
Now, to your point, we have seen quite a large number in terms of volume and preventions. Whilst it makes up a small component of the total withdrawals and the claims, it's certainly something that we're keeping our eyes on, because it is essentially stealing from the dead.
Yeah.
And it is a very sensitive thing, and it has a tremendous impact on the families.
Yeah.
Where this fraud hasn't been detected and prevented.
And I'm assuming why this attracts a lot of fraudsters is because of the quantum, right, of the cover, because you're talking life insurance, there are pension payouts, there's certain assets as well. So this could really add up
Absolutely.
To the millions that fraudsters could attain. Would that be correct?
Absolutely. I think the stats also show this. So when we looked at the total quantum here, yes, we did see a bit of a growth year on year in terms of, if I'm not mistaken, we did see a number of incidents increasing. But what is promising is the significant amount of preventions. I mean, 220 million rands worth of preventions, where families, beneficiaries, heirs, next of kin of those deceased customers would have potentially been out of pocket. So it is staggering. It is a scary thing, I think, because the system does rely on public sector, private sector, and many enablers in between, such as attorneys and other forms of parties and agents that get involved in these processes. So again, information is potentially being shared across, and how that information is sometimes used could be turned against the customer who doesn't understand the process or who has placed exorbitant amounts of trust in somebody to act in their stead, for example.
Exactly. Even more shows the importance of a will and your family knowing about that, so that nobody can actually pretend to be the executor of your estate. Sure.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
And Google, if I may, my very last thought here again for consumer education, which I take very seriously. Mm-hmm. If we've got listeners online tonight, I do implore you, if a family member does pass away, make sure that you notify your financial institutions as soon as humanly possible. The biggest problem that we see is that families often wait weeks up until months waiting for the letter of authority or the letter of executorship before they notify the banks and the investment companies and the insurers. Ooh. Make sure that you do that up front. Make them aware of the fact that there has been a passing, and make them aware of who's dealing with the estate up front. It does minimize the risk that some of these things could happen.
Got you. Otherwise, anyone can continue with withdrawals from your accounts or other investments, right? Which, can lead to uncomfortable circumstances. Jean, it sounds like we need another edition of this conversation. You know, just focus on one of the categories, because there's so much to explore regarding the risks, but also the reality of what it is that we're facing in South Africa. Thank you again for your time.
That's a great pleasure, Gugu. Look forward to seeing you again.
Likewise. That's Jean van Niekerk, convener of the ASISA Forensic Standing Committee, ASISA being the Association for Savings and Investments South Africa. He's helped us unpack just how the insurance industry, in as much as many of us might raise frustrations about funeral policies and payouts and life cover and slow payouts, the truth is the industry has been working hard, because in the last year, he's mentioned that there's been successful payouts of well over 600 billion rand. So that means when you are covered, you do get paid. Those are the honest claims that have gone through, especially when it comes to long-term insurance, funeral cover or life insurance. But what we also need to be mindful of is that there are fraudsters out there who go out and try to make a claim over our lives, whether it's through money for murder, whether it's deceased estate fraud, which we've been highlighted to be very careful of, or even some industry insiders who work for incentives to get a commission on your payout. These are some of the concerns that are influencing the industry. So protect your information, protect your family and loved ones. Make sure you have a will in place. And of course, have the necessary parties available to manage any concerns should you pass away. Or not should you. Death is a reality, right? So when we do pass away, we need to put in the necessary processes in place.
Kaya Biz with Gugule Tumfuphi, Monday to Thursday, 6 to 8 p.m. on Kaya 959.
Click kaya959.co.za
to download the Kaya Biz podcast.